Wrapping up the semester and a Rural Reimagined update. That's what we have on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, the fall 2020 semester is rapidly coming to a close. When students return to campus on Monday, there will be just one more week of classes and then finals, with fall commencement slated for Saturday, December 12th. With us now to talk about how Tennessee Tech has maneuvered through this fall semester is Tennessee Tech President Phil Oldham. I guess when you look back, this has probably been a fall semester unlike anything we've ever experienced.
Absolutely. That's an understatement. In fact, I don't think it's a fall semester that anybody has ever experienced. So we're past creators here.
You know, when you look at how things have progressed, I guess you go back to the spring and the summer, and really there was a lot of planning that went into getting ready for the fall, and, you know, that probably helped make things go a little bit smoother, don't you think?
Oh, there's no question. Most people probably don't realize how many people were involved and how much work went into making this happen. This fall, it was an enormous task, and the faculty and all the support staff on campus did a phenomenal job making this work. A lot of decisions got made early on that I think for the most part have proven to be good choices on our part. Of course, at the time, we didn't know. We had to go with the best information we had on hand and sort of use our gut, I guess, gut instinct to plot a course and be prepared to change and adapt as needed. That was our philosophy up front.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, most of those decisions, maybe all of them, have proven to be on target, and we've managed this pretty well. Obviously not without positive cases. There's been positive cases on campus,
sure,
throughout this time, but we've been fortunate enough to be able to keep them to a minimum and in a range that was very manageable for the campus to handle, and we could continue operations successfully. And now we're knocking on the door, finishing up this semester, and being able to have students on campus and continue their education. That's what it was all about.
And, you know, when people look at Phil Oldham, they see president of Tennessee Tech University, but maybe they don't realize that you're also a parent of a college student who is going through this. So if you take your president hat off, what's it been like being the parent of a college student that's having to experience this?
Well, I've had the benefit, and maybe the curse, I don't know, of seeing this situation through everybody's eyes.
Yeah.
And certainly through the students' eyes, and, you know, having our son here as a student, I got some firsthand insight into what students deal with. And of course, I spent this semester teaching in the classroom as well, and so I had an opportunity to interact with a really talented group of Tech students this fall, and talk to them about what they're experiencing and, you know, what their struggles have been. But then obviously talking to faculty and staff on campus, and the range of opinions, the range of concerns, and all has been really so broad and widespread. It's really been across the board. But it's helped me to be able to see it through everybody's eyes and everybody's perspective. And I think that has helped us plot a course that has been, I think, proven to be pretty successful. And hopefully it will continue that way.
Yeah, we'll talk about the spring semester in a moment. But go back to the teaching part. What was it like being in the classroom? Because it's been a while since you've been in the classroom.
It has been a while. I've told some people it's sort of like going back and visiting your hometown after you've been away for 20 years. And
yeah,
everything sort of looks familiar, but a little bit different than you remembered it. Mm-hmm. And so you start down a road and you say, I think this is where I need to be going, you know, for my destination. But then you get halfway down and you say, well, maybe not. But you know, visiting your old hometown is a great experience, and it's generally a real pleasure, and that's the way it has been for me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, you know, reconnecting to my discipline, and mostly just being able to interact with students, you know, more directly in a learning environment. And I tell you, I'm so impressed with our Tennessee Tech students. Yeah. You know, I've had the benefit of serving on three very good university campuses in my career, and of course I've attended many more, and I really don't think you will find better students anywhere than what we have here at Tennessee Tech.
Well, they've certainly been resilient this fall, and of course, you know, the semester's not over with yet. We've got dead week next week, and then finals, and a fall commencement that will look very similar to what we did back in the summer, with different commencement services spread out so people can social distance and that kind of thing. But as we look to the spring, has there been things that we have learned this fall that we might be able to implement in the spring that maybe will help a little bit, or do you expect pretty much the same in the spring that we've had in the fall?
You know, I don't know that you'll see visibly anything, any major changes as we enter into the spring semester. Of course, you know, now we know that we have, you know, really positive news in terms of vaccines that are likely going to be available in the very near future. You know, I think our expectation is that the impact of the vaccine or vaccines probably won't be felt until, you know, sometime later in the spring semester. So, you know, I would anticipate starting out the spring term in a very similar fashion, and hopefully, particularly between the vaccine and as the weather warms, so that people spend more time outdoors, less likely to transfer the virus through indoor spaces. You know, we'll see some relief and gradually get back to something more like we're used to. You know, the concerns we had going into the fall semester, I think we've proven that we can mitigate most of those. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, buddy, I know you're an old sports guy, so, I mean, there's an old adage, don't change a winning game.
Yeah.
if you got a game plan that seems to be working, don't mess with it too much. And so that's the way I would think about going into the spring term. You know, some tweaks around the edges, I'm sure. You know, I think we've learned better how to make sure we take care of those students that are infected, and make sure we provide really more than adequate support for them, you know, really make sure that they're well taken care of and checked on and all that. I think we've improved that a lot. We've improved our testing and contact tracing. So, you know, we have learned a lot of lessons, and we've gotten a lot better at this. And I think we've learned how that we can have in-person classes without significant risk. I mean, of all the cases that we've had on campus, and I think we've had close to 800 now positive cases throughout the semester. Essentially all of them, for the most part, have already recovered. Mm-hmm. We've got a few still out there. But of all those, all the contact tracing that we've done with those students, faculty, and staff, there's not a single case that I'm aware of that has been traced back to you know, the transfer of the virus in a classroom setting or in a laboratory setting, any kind of campus activity. It's been, you know, essentially all social activities off campus.
Right.
And mostly living arrangements, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, students and family units that live in the same household. That's primarily how this thing is spread.
You know, you mentioned sports. It's been a dry spell since the spring, since we've had some sports on campus and since our athletic teams have participated. But basketball season is tipping off, and hopefully we'll that'll roll on into you know, volleyball and maybe soccer and football in the spring and baseball and softball, and hopefully just getting golf and getting all those sports cranked back up again.
Yeah, it's going to be it's sort of going to be a traffic jam of sporting events, I think, in the spring, because basically we're attempting, as everybody else is too, we're attempting to compress all the annual sporting seasons into one semester.
Wow.
This year. So, you know, that in the spring, assuming we can pull this off, which, you know, we're making every effort to, I don't know that there'll be a single day of the week that we don't have some kind of athletic event going on campus, or team traveling or something. They're going to be on top of each other. But, you know, athletic department's done a fantastic job of keeping our student athletes safe, and
the
testing protocols are extremely rigorous. The basketball teams are already being tested 3 times a week, and so, you know, if there's any positive case, they get isolated quickly and taken care of, and so it's going to be a challenge. The hoop's going to look different. Seating arrangements are going to be spread out, and you know, not as many people in the hoop as we would like for the events, but you know, I think it proves, and it really showcases for our students an attitude of, look, you know, life throws you curveballs sometimes, and you don't just go sit on the bench when it doesn't go your way. You work it out. You keep working the problem, and you work for solutions, and you find a way to keep moving forward, and fortunately that's what we've been able to do so far.
Yeah, talking with Tennessee Tech President Phil Oldham, I guess if there's an area on campus that we may want to give a shout out to, it's the folks over in Tennessee Tech Health Services. I know Leanne Ray and her staff have just, they've been swamped and bombarded with, you know, COVID stuff nonstop, in addition to the other things that they do. So how proud are you to have just a health service place on campus that we have?
They are phenomenal. I'm telling you, Leanne Ray is the best of the best, and her staff is absolutely first rate. We are very, very blessed to have them on this campus, and not just because of their professionalism and expertise, which is outstanding, but, you know, these are people that they will go more than the extra mile. They'll go the extra 10 miles because they love this campus. They love the students. They love the people here. And they will spare nothing to make sure everyone is taken care of. And that, you know, I really appreciate them. And they've been stressed to the maximum done everything asked of them. And usually when I talk to Leanne about an issue, she's 10 steps ahead of me. So very thoughtful, very proactive. We're really blessed. Appreciate them greatly.
Well, just a couple of weeks left in the semester. Any message that you particularly want to get out to the faculty and staff and students as we wrap up fall 2020?
I just encourage everybody to keep at it. You know, let's finish, let's go ahead and run through the tape, if continue that sports metaphor.
Yeah. Take it to the house.
let's run through the tape here and finish the semester. And congratulations to everybody. Job really well done. Appreciate everybody's patience and concern. And I know it has been a challenge for everybody. Really, really well done. Great job, campus.
Tennessee Tech President Phil Oldham with us here on Tennessee Tech today. President Oldham, we wish you and your family a happy holiday. Hope you have a good break, and look forward to wrapping up the semester.
Same to you, buddy, and same to everyone here at Tennessee Tech. Happy Thanksgiving, and keep your wings up.
Well, Tennessee Tech's Rural Reimagined Grand Challenge has been making a difference in rural communities. We'll hear all about it. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Rural Reimagined is Tennessee Tech's grand challenge initiative to transform rural living through harnessing science, technology, and innovation. Students, faculty, and staff have been busy this semester making a difference in rural counties around the Upper Cumberland. And with us to tell us more is Michael Akins, the Director of Innovation and Entrepreneurship in the Office of Research and Economic Development. I guess it's safe to say that this has been a different type of fall semester, especially for our Rural Reimagined program.
Well, it sure has.
So what has the semester been like? I mean, I'm sure you had some goals coming in and some things that you wanted to accomplish. Have you been able to do those things?
By and large, we've been able to accomplish everything that we set out to do. I would say probably the biggest aspect that we were not able to do is have in-person meetings. But with the virtual, connection and communication tools that we have in this day and age, we've been able to engage our students, engage our community, and really, have continuity of operations. So I would say that while it has been a little bit different, we've really gotten together, been resilient, used innovation and technology to our advantage, and ultimately still be able to help our rural communities. And that's the whole goal of Rural Reimagined.
Yeah. And can you tell us some of the ways that Rural Reimagined has been able to help out some of those rural communities this semester?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the biggest things that we've been working on this semester, particularly through the Center for Rural Innovation, has been a rural tourism initiative. And I believe I've spoke on previous episodes about how we've helped Jackson County out.
Right.
We've built a brand for them, logos, websites, billboards, you name it, we've built it for them. And the greatest thing about it is the students are the ones that are producing the work. Now, what we've been able to do is take what we learned in Jackson County, and we're working concurrently in four separate counties right now. So we're working with Clay County, we're working with Fentress County, and then we're also working with the town of Monterey to basically do the exact same thing that we did with Jackson County, except give their own particular flair to their rural tourism needs. And what's really interesting about this is that in addition to, being able to work with the students, what we've been able to add this year is a PhD practicum student. His name is Vincent, mm-hmm. and he is able to actually apply qualitative research methodology to these branding initiatives. And in plain English, what that basically means is that when we go into a community, we work directly with the community and we have them start a community coalition. So basically we have about 15 to 20 people that are representative of the county, and they give their input on what they would like to see, for their rural tourism brand. And what we do is I go up every month to the communities, I provide some instruction. And then the most important aspect is that after the instruction, I distribute worksheets to the coalition so that they can give us direct and honest feedback on what they would like to see their rural tourism brand be. And then we're able to utilize Vincent's strengths in that he comes in and basically analyzes and synthesizes across all of the submissions of the worksheets and utilizes research methods to basically key in and find out what are they really saying, and across the board, what commonalities and themes can we surmise from what those worksheet feedbacks are saying. So, it's not Tennessee Tech coming in and saying, hey, rural county, we have all the answers and here's what your tourism brand needs to be. It's quite the opposite. We tell them up front, we don't have all the answers, and that's how it should be. The answers come from the community, and we're able to utilize the research methodology to really, from a scientific approach, be able to for us to be able to hone in and figure out exactly what they want. We then pass that information off to our student designers, and we're well on our way to developing logos, branding palettes, color palettes, and basically anything else that you would expect to find in a branding tourism package.
Wow, that's great. Are there some other incentive or initiatives that you've been working on as well?
Yeah, definitely. So talking a little bit more about the students, we have the Rural Reimagined Student Club, which I know that that's been on the radio show before.
Yeah.
And what they're doing this semester and actually moving into the spring semester is they have essentially adopted the town, the historic town of Rugby, Tennessee, which is just outside of Fentress County. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a couple of cool things with them. So what they're working on is actually creating a book club with rural living as the subject. So they're working with Historic Rugby on that. And then they are also working on a service project to support the village. And so what we're also finding is that the student club, actually the president, Kester Newcomb, has started a virtual speaker series called the Rural Journey series.
Oh yeah.
And what's really cool about that is he's getting people from the community and also student leaders on the show. And they basically talk about, you know, what it is that, you know, why is rural important to them? How are they affecting the community? And such that, you know, any attendee that listens to the Rural Journey speaker series can potentially get inspired by hearing the speakers, and also, you know, with that inspiration, be motivated to do something, you know, on their own or, you know, with the club. So, you know, it's really, you know, what we talk about a lot is all of this is a grassroots effort, and it just makes me incredibly happy and excited to see that, you know, the club, the community, students, faculty are really taking this, you know, very seriously and, you know, coming up with ways that they can, you know, help and impact our rural communities. And that's what Rural Reimagined is all about.
Yeah, exactly. So are there some things that were put in place that you're going to be able to continue to do next semester or maybe even some new initiatives coming up in the spring?
Definitely. So we're going to continue on all the things that we've already talked about. But some of the new initiatives that we're working on is how do we get more counties, more communities, more students, and more faculty involved.
Right.
So one thing that we've done is we have significantly embellished our Rural Reimagined website. One of the particular items that we put on there just recently is resources and materials for faculty. So faculty are interested in writing proposals for grants. They're interested in research. But the problem is to get rural-based research proposals developed, you have to have secondary data. So, for example, they need to know, you know, what is the economic status of a particular county? What is, you know, what is the healthcare? What does the broadband look like? The list goes on and on. But the problem is that information can be difficult to find. And so what we've done is we've taken a hard look at all of the places that really have that good quality data that a faculty or a student that is writing a research proposal or is working on a grant would need. And we've aggregated those all on the faculty resources section of the website. So that's one exciting thing. And we hope that that will help our faculty and students to write more and better proposals. You know, in speaking about those proposals, just this semester, we have received over $500,000 in rural related grants.
Wow.
And we want to double that next semester, and we can triple that. And the way to do that is to provide the motivation and also to provide the resources that are needed to complete that. And then something else that we're looking at is how do we proliferate Rural Reimagined across the state? Because one of the main ideas of Rural Reimagined is how do we replicate this and how do we scale it? So we want communities, you know, outside of the Upper Cumberland, we want them taking the Rural Reimagined Grand Challenge on for themselves. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we're working on, and I want to stress, this is very much in brainstorm mode right now, but moving into the spring semester, what we're looking at is creating a series of about four or five specific challenges that focus around certain rural-related themes. So entrepreneurship, healthcare, COVID-19 pandemic, and a few others. And we will offer these challenges such that any community, any school, any person in a rural area can actually sign up with Rural Reimagined, take on the challenge, and then we will work with them to help them proliferate that in their community. We have students that can write press releases and marketing guides and other things that are essential for taking on a challenge. So that's one thing to really watch out for. One of the biggest stories that's going to come out very soon. And you heard it here first. Rural Reimagined has a presence now in 40 of the 95 counties in Tennessee. 40. Wow. How awesome is that?
That's awesome. And plus, we love the exclusivity. You know, we love to drop exclusive items on the Tennessee Tech Today show.
That's right. And that is that is fresh off the press. Actually, it's not even off the presses yet. But one thing that we're working on right now is an annual report, and it's actually better stated. It's a year and a half report to really aggregate and collect all of the things and activities that have occurred at Rural Reimagined. We've actually got a master's degree professional technical communications student named Sarah Rutledge, who is developing that annual report for us. And through all of this data collection and aggregation, we have determined that we have officially 40 counties. And so our goal moving into the spring semester is by this time in the summer, I would love to see 75% of the counties, if not 100% of the counties, some type of presence of Rural Reimagined in Tennessee. So that's one thing you can look out for.
Well, that's great. Then it is very exciting. And it just sounds like the work with Rural Reimagined is continuing to grow. It's continuing to get better as you get more funding and to just expand into more counties. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't have a Michael Akins interview where we didn't talk about Eagle Works,
yes,
which is, you know, one of the greatest things on Tech's campus. And so it usually comes up in the spring. So what is it going to look like this year for Eagle Works?
Sure. Okay. So for those of you all who don't know, Eagle Works is our innovation and entrepreneurship program at Tech, and it all centers around a Shark Tank style business pitch competition.
Right.
And that's where students come up with innovative ideas to solve problems. And what's really cool is that we will be awarding over $20,000,
wow,
to the student winners. And I'm also glad to say that $20,000, not a single penny of it comes out of state or institutional funding. This is all funded by generous donors and alumni that have given to our Eagle Works program in such that they want to see our student entrepreneurs flourish. So with that said, our big competition will be on April 10th this year. Mm-hmm. Again, that's April 10th of 2021.
Right.
The competition, as far as we can tell, will be virtual.
Okay.
Last year, the pandemic hit and lockdown happened right around the time that we were going to have the competition.
Right.
So in order to save the competition, we just tried it out and said, you know what, we'll try virtual. We'll see what happens. It worked really, really well. We learned a lot of things. We're going to incorporate what we learned this year. And it's going to be an absolutely amazing event, not only for the students that are involved, but this is also a public event. So for the past 9 years, Eagle Works has been a public event, and that will be no different this year as well. So what we're going to be able to do is provide a live link on YouTube. So anybody that wants to watch the competition can watch it on YouTube live streamed, and they can watch. There should be right around anywhere from 5 to 10 student teams that are competing with their entrepreneurial aspirations. So it's going to be really exciting. We're going to, I can't really tell you much about it, but we're going to incorporate some shall we say, live broadcast techniques that we've never done ever before. And it's going to be a truly exciting event that you can experience.
Well, it is. And it's always so popular. And the things that are presented at Eagle Works is just amazing. Just the things that the students come up with that mm-hmm. they can patent and market, and their ideas is just unbelievable. I know I have a 17-year-old senior at Upperman who's coming to Tech and majoring
awesome.
In business just so he can do Eagle Works, because he wants to win
great.
The money. He wants the money. So, and you give,
right,
you
well,
give
hey.
Cash. I mean, you give money. That's the thing.
That's right. You know, and it that has been, you know, the cash is a great motivator. But what we also see is that students, especially this generation, they want to make a difference. They want to solve problems.
Yeah.
They want to help society. And you know what? If you can stick $10,000 in your pocket because you had the best idea on how to do that, that's even better.
Exactly. Well, Michael Akins, we certainly appreciate the update on Rural Reimagined and Eagle Works. Anything else you want to throw in?
Well, you know, buddy, I could talk to you all afternoon, but what I would say to our audience today is if you want more information about the Rural Reimagined Grand Challenge, head over to Tennessee Tech's website. That's mm-hmm. tntech.edu/grand challenge. That's all one word, Grand Challenge. And if you want more information about the EagleWorks program, again, Tennessee Tech website, tntech.edu/EagleWorks, all one word. You want more information, you want to get involved, you want to donate some money, we'd love to talk to you. We'd also love if you're an entrepreneur or a business person out there and would like to mentor a student, we have opportunities that we can get you connected. So hit up the website, click on the contact button. It goes straight to my email. Love to talk to you all. Thank you so much, buddy, for having me on the show. And I'm really excited for what the future looks like here at Tennessee Tech.
All right. Michael Akins, Director of Innovation and Entrepreneurship, Office of Research and Economic Development for Tennessee Tech, with us here on Tennessee Tech Today. And we certainly hope you have a great holiday weekend.
You too. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the TT website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.